The market is at a pivotal point. We've analyzed all the latest data and trends to make an accurate prediction about whether things are about to explode up or crash to the ground.
Don't believe the headlines. We're going to tell you exactly what's actually happening in the markets so you can be better prepared.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is your place for all things stocks and crypto. From beginner tips to expert picks. Use this as fuel for your investing journey, because when you're in the know, your money will grow.
This episode of the Bean Pod is sponsored by BitGet.
BitGet is the most user-friendly and secure crypto trading platform for both beginners and experienced traders.
BitGet is the best place to not only trade Bitcoin and Ethereum, but also all the small cap gems that we discuss every day.
With 24/7 customer support, leveraged trading, and a wide array of other advanced features, BitGet sets itself apart from every other centralized exchange.
Through Beanstalk's official partnership with BitGet, you'll receive 15% off all trading fees when you sign up using the referral link in the description.
All views expressed by speakers on the BeanPod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the BeanPod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Welcome to the Bean Pod. This is Shane, aka the Jolly Green Investor.
And this is Josh, the Nifty Investor.
Today, we're going to be giving you the most accurate market prediction that you're going to find. The key thing is we don't want you to believe the headlines that you read in the news. So we're going to go through all the stats, all the trends, and let you know whether the market's about to go up or down.
Reading the headlines can be very dangerous. I like to use JP Morgan headlines a lot of the time because when you go back and cross-reference, what they're actually pumping out to the masses is actually completely contradictory to what is actually going to happen. So I went back and looked at the articles that are coming out with JP Morgan back before the stock market has been ripping over the past year and a half. He was saying bearish on this, bearish on that. Boom, what happened? Everything ripped. Previously in 2022, we saw a bunch of fear around recession. Recession headlines were hitting the market everywhere. And what ended up happening? Stock market ripped. So I think you see like these huge wealth managers, et cetera, try to get out certain narratives so that they can capitalize and prey on the retail.
For sure.
The everyday person who's watching CNBC and getting their mad money news and et cetera, stuff like that.
100%. Right? I mean, like, you know, not to get our tinfoil, you know, conspiracy hats too much on here, but it's true. Like, just look at the way the mass media manipulates people in all aspects of life, not even in the financial markets, just with everything, whether it's politics or industry or climate change, anything, right? There's so much manipulation going on, and that extends to the financial markets. So it's important when you're reading news about the stock market or the crypto market and these so-called quote-unquote top analysts making predictions that you almost need to take an inverse approach. And, you know, we've really stood by this inverse approach in a lot of aspects of our life, and it seems to work, right?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do today in today's episode, which is important to watch to the end, is look at what all the headlines are saying and then actually dive into what we are seeing and what we think these could mean. And the way that you can use this is to, you know, look at the underlying factors and make some moves in your portfolio that can set you up for maximum gains in the future. So this is an important episode.
So we just saw the first anticipated rate cut a couple weeks back at this stage. And everybody was saying, rate cuts are bullish. But then you also had a few people on the other side of the coin who are saying, look, a rate cut could and inevitably does also lead to a market downturn. Mm-hmm. So where are we at? We just saw a 50 basis point cut, and the Fed has signaled that they'll be doing another one at the end of the year and then more into 2025. But this is pretty interesting because typically when you see this rate cut, you can get like a 3-week rally, which we're kind of seeing at this stage. Question is, do we now sell off or do we continue running into next year? So that's kind of where we need to analyze, look, what's going to happen next?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing. And, you know, we have a lot of dialogue even just between us privately about what's going to happen. The main thing to understand is that every situation, every scenario is different, yep. Right? Just because the data says that 75% of the time we see a 3-week rally and then a 6-month sell-off, well, that still also leaves 25% chance that that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Right? So every situation in the world is different. Obviously, it's an election year, which is another factor. And there's all kinds of macroeconomic things. You know, we have conflict with Iran and Israel. There's so many things going on where you can't just say, look, this happened in the past. I'm going to put all my eggs in this basket, right? And then you see, you know, okay, on the surface, a rate cut is, it seems bullish, right? Because what an interest rate cut means is that it's easier for companies and businesses to borrow money, cheaper money, right? So that seems like, okay, people are going to start buying riskier assets. They're going to start putting money back into the markets. But then on the flip side, why a government or, you know, why they're doing a rate cut is maybe because the economy is showing signs of weakness. So there's it's bullish, it's bearish. That's why it is so difficult to figure out.
It's super difficult because it depends. Like, are we in a recession currently? Like the data says that we were or are, but that's lagging data.
Mm.
Are we? And then, you know, the job market comes out. The job report comes out and it shows that, you know, there's been a bunch of jobs added. But then you have to look at where were the jobs added. So there's a lot of stuff that you have to kind of read between the lines. And that's what we're here to do. So with this jumbo rate cut that they did, 50 basis points, when I was doing my research, since the 1990s, 70% of the time we do see a sell-off. But there is that 30% of the time where we do see, you know, a nice incline. When the Fed cut 50 basis points, it quieted fears to those thinking the Fed is falling behind. Because I think if they did 25 basis points, it would seem as though they're trailing. But the 50 basis points is like, no, we're stepping in front of this.
Right.
So that's quieting the fears that they're not ahead of the curve, which they are. And they've already forecasted only 50 basis points for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the market not like? That's uncertainty. What have we received? A clear guided path as to what they're going to do. So in my opinion, the certainty is a good thing for the markets moving forward.
Right. And then, yeah, so going back to the kind of the latest big piece of news in the markets was the unemployment information, right? The jobs report. So U.S. unemployment dipped to 4.1%. Employers added a surprisingly strong over 250,000 jobs in September. So now we're starting to all see these headlines, right? You know, Jerome Powell, he's done the job. He's slayed the recession beast. Soft landing achieved. Avoiding the recession, like all these headlines. And this is what we keep talking about, you know, at the start of the episode, and we're hammering home. Once you start to see these headlines saying, oh, look, don't worry, recession avoided, it's all over, no worries, put your money back into the markets, that is when you maybe start to need to be a little cautious. Not that I'm saying that I think there's going to be a crash immediately, but this is maybe a sign that over the next quarter or maybe two quarters, you know, 6 months, that they're going to start to form this narrative that, look, everything's all good. Inflation's coming down, rates are coming down, recession over, plow your money back into the markets. They want to trap everyone in this mass, you know, maybe a parabolic end to this bull run, if it's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some positive signs, and that's what the headlines maybe are allowing for the market to run a little bit further here. But when you have to look a little bit deeper, it's like, so with the recent jobs report, it was good, but a majority was added in government. So it's like, okay, that's not really the economy itself.
Right.
Then you also look at the strong payroll data. But when you look at it, individuals holding more than one job came in at an all-time high. So this is almost like a canary in the coal mine, you know? So it's like, yeah, you're adding more jobs, but they're all government. Yes, payrolls are great, but people are holding more than one job.
Mm-hmm.
So what is that saying about the overall economy, especially when the Fed is cutting rates?
I think it just speaks to the fact that the government is going to manipulate data as much as they want to push the narrative that they want on the people, right? Like, they can say inflation's coming down, everything's all good, all you want, but you go to the grocery store and things are just getting more expensive. They can say, oh yeah, people are traveling, people are spending, but then you go into cities and you go traveling and there's no one there, right? So you can use data. There's the old saying, right? You can use data to prove anything.
100%.
Whether it's like, oh, look at all these amazing jobs. Well, as you just said, if you look under the hood, it's all government jobs or it's all part-time jobs, whatever. Like, it's, you can use numbers to make up any sort of lie. And I think that is what they're doing. And they will continue to do until they've kind of reached their tipping point. So it is, again, just like, don't believe these headlines.
So now I go back to the rate cuts and I see, you know, 50% basis point cuts. They're going to keep cutting all the way down. And that's going to make, like you said, borrowing a lot cheaper. That is good for, in my opinion, emerging markets, emerging industries, and like crypto. And what BlackRock, $10 trillion asset manager BlackRock, says that crypto is being adopted faster than the internet and mobile phones. So this is like an up-and-coming industry that still has a very tiny market cap. And a lot of these businesses, as we alluded to, or these crypto businesses, as we alluded to previously, was that VC, venture capitalists, are being very predatory towards these startups. And KOLs, they're also decimating some of these charts by receiving early round investment seeds through these projects. When the cost of borrowing gets a lot lower because the interest rates are down, I think you're going to start to see these other areas of the world start to do a lot better, like the crypto industry, because now these projects can start borrowing money at a lower interest rate. So they don't have to pay back as much. So yes, we might see some of the big tech stocks like NVIDIA and Microsoft and all these things that have been on parabolic run. They might start to sell off, but I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity for some of these smaller market cap companies who can now start borrowing money again.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, even, you know, as much as we talk about crypto and it's grown so much, it is still like these, it's basically correlated as a small cap risky tech industry. Yeah. So if you look at the small cap sector, like the Russell Index of the stock market, that's kind of where you want to correlate crypto to. And although in my research, I found that interest rate cuts don't mean like small cap sectors and companies don't have outsized gains usually. But I think going back to like every case is different, right? So I read an Oxford study that said that in this particular case, because small cap tech companies right now, their balance sheets are so weak, they think that lowering costs of borrowing are going to produce outsized gains and positive outcomes for companies with small caps, for riskier assets, because their balance sheets are so weak, they need to borrow money right now. Mm-hmm. Because look at what's happening right now in the world. Like large tech companies, large companies, monopolies are dominating more than ever before.
Yeah.
You know, your Microsofts, Googles, Amazons, Apples, Nvidias, their stock prices and valuations are higher than ever. Big companies are just destroying small companies. Small companies are in a rough spot. And especially with high interest rates. Now, with interest rates coming down, I think you're going to see small cap tech, risky tech, and crypto really benefit because now they can borrow money again and, you know, start to hopefully grow their businesses. So maybe in this case, even though it's the minority case, we will see outsized gains with small cap and emerging tech because of the lower interest rates.
Absolutely. What else do we have here? We also have, it's an election year with the liquidity in the markets, global markets, the M2 supply increasing. And it's also one of those years where there's the Bitcoin halving. One of our previous episodes, we highlighted the only other three times where this has happened. And after the month of October, Bitcoin and risk on assets have tended to perform extremely well in the months following. Mm-hmm. Typically, that run lasts for approximately 1 year. So in my opinion, everything we just discussed about the soft landing, you know, the manipulated data, which makes it look great, mm-hmm. the halving, the election year, all these things, we should see another 6 to 8 months or so of upward momentum, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, Bitcoin can run for 6 to 8 months, and then the real alt season usually happens after Bitcoin goes to all-time high. So if Bitcoin breaks out and goes to all-time high in, say, Q1, Q2 of next year, and then starts to come down, that's when you see the money rotate into alts, which could make sense for a lot of altcoins to reach their all-time highs, soar into like blue sky opportunities in like maybe the second half of next year. Yep. That's possible. And then you just look at, you know, all, it's not just about the US economy, right? So look at what's happening in China right now. Mm. Their stock market just wiped away 3 years of losses in 5 days or something. They're putting massive stimulus. And also there's some interesting talks, although some of the people that we met in Singapore said it's never going to happen. Maybe China is going to be a little bit more friendly to crypto. It's possible. But what we do know is that Hong Kong is friendly to crypto. A lot of China money flows into Hong Kong and through that into crypto. And China's economy is just printing money like crazy right now. So that's another potentially bullish sign for crypto markets.
Liquidity drives the markets. When you look at the Bitcoin heat map, you can see there's a ton of liquidity sitting at like that 75K to 80K rate range. At some point, the exchanges are going to want to grab that liquidity. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of when. So, you know, that's another 15-20% move for Bitcoin here. Liquidity drives the markets. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened to, like you said, the Chinese stock market. It absolutely ripped when they introduced, I think it was like $115 billion stimulus package mm-hmm. for the stock market.
Yep.
Additional stimulus could come. I think it could also speak to what would or could potentially happen in the US. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we see something similar. In addition to, like I said, liquidity drives everything. What about the $16 billion in FTX repayment plan with interest that's going to come to all those affected by the FTX scandal? Yeah. So that's $16 billion plus interest that could eventually flow into the altcoin market and into the crypto market.
Mm-hmm, yeah, so a lot of potentially bullish tailwinds for the crypto market specifically there. I mean, we also have to touch on, you know, the Iran-Israel conflict in the Middle East. That's kind of your potential black swan, bad for the markets. Well, at least short term, you know, war is always... We did that episode years ago, but, you know, buy the dip, buy the invasion, right?
Yeah.
Because it always, you know, you buy the invasion, everyone freaks out, and then the markets continue up. Yeah. But one thing about that conflict in particular is, like, the price of oil that we have to watch. And I think if there is a major, you know, escalation in the conflict over there, the price of oil could spike. And the price of oil tends to spike inflation as well. So what I'm thinking is that if that happens, the price of oil spiking inflation would mean that maybe, like, they're going to pause on these rate cuts. which keeps us in the Goldilocks zone, right?
Right.
Because they don't want to bring the rates down. If inflation is going to go up, they bring the rates up. So if inflation goes up with oil, then maybe they keep us in this Goldilocks zone again, which is good for the markets because, again, like, they just want to keep things where they're at. Certainty, right? So that's an interesting thing to think about.
I think the oil, like, I have been watching the oil as well. And, you know, driving around here, it's nice to see how much cheaper gas is.
Yeah.
That it's one thing I'd want to err on would be the side of, you know, maybe there is a slowing economy, so there's not as much demand. So the price of oil is coming down even further.
Yep.
So it is going to be a fine balance between, you know, what's being halted and what is causing the price of oil to drop because of the demand side of things.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're seeing it. Like, we're seeing it everywhere. You know, a lot of the headlines and what they're saying. But when you look around, like, you know, we talk about a recession indicator, and one of them is being we're playing golf. And there's no golf balls in the woods. They're too broke to let their golf ball just go. Like, they're going in and picking it out. You know,
it's my favorite indicator.
It's a small indicator, but it makes sense. And then, you know, where we live, you know, some of our friends are bartenders and servers and all that stuff, and they're saying it's the quietest year ever. They're all, none of the restaurants have hit any other targets.
Yeah.
So that's an eerie thing. I've had multiple friends get laid off from their jobs. So a lot of underlying cracks that are there.
Yep.
It's gonna be interesting to see how does AI step into all this.
Right.
And, you know, does it boost productivity for these corporations that drive the stock market? But it's also taking away jobs. So the unemployment data is gonna look bad. You know, where
disconnect.
There's a huge disconnect here, and we're in a realm that we've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately AI is going to boost corporate profits while slashing jobs. So, I mean, the stock market is always disconnected from, like, the real global economy, whereas, like, you know, COVID, the stock market absolutely ripped, but the global economy went to shit. So it is, what to judge what the actions or the direction of the market based on what you see day to day is not always accurate, but there is anecdotal evidence there for sure.
For sure.
I think, like, my general overarching thesis, and obviously, you know, none of this is financial advice. This is just what we think of the markets and how we're positioning our portfolios. I think, you know, we remain bullish. We remain on the thesis that we set up for Bitcoin with the halving, that episode we did a few months ago, where we think, look, Q4 leading into next year is going to continue to be bullish. And I think the headlines that you're starting to see to come out from JP Morgan, from all these banks and everything, I think this is leading, it's agreeing with our thesis. They're going to lead everyone into a false sense of security through the election into next year, and everyone's going to be like, oh, wow, we just did such a great job of avoiding that recession. Inflation's coming down, and then the underlying cracks will emerge, and I think there could be a, you know, rough times ahead for the global economy. Maybe we're wrong, and maybe things just keep ripping, or maybe it crashes sooner than we think, but this is kind of our thesis. It's been our thesis for a while, and I see no reason to, like, you know, get extremely bearish all of a sudden. I think we just have to stick to our guns here, right, and be patient.
Yeah, I mean, we look at the stock market, and Bitcoin specifically, it's been up only since inception.
Yeah.
You know, there's always some small pullbacks. But if you have a long-term mindset like we do, it's a lot easier to, you know, park your money in projects or stocks that we like that are flight to quality.
Yep.
You know, look how BitTensor has performed during any, you know, price action that's occurred across all the other altcoins.
Mm-hmm.
BitTensor is a top gainer in all of crypto.
Yep.
There's a reason for that. You know, so I think it's like the flight to quality is also really important.
Yeah, and patience, right? Like, I know people, their patience is just diminished. Attention spans are at all-time lows because of social media. But in investing, patience pays. As simple as that. Like, Warren Buffett did not become one of the richest people in the world by day trading small caps or trying to, like, time bottoms and time tops. You just find good things, be patient, look at the, zoom out on the global macro picture, and just be patient. And I think we're sticking to our thesis here. We remain bullish. There are a lot of factors to continue. The market is ever evolving. So, like, you know, if you have any questions and stuff, make sure to drop them in the comments. And make sure to subscribe because we're always going to keep you updated on the market.
Hey, make sure you guys tune into the next episode.
That one is going to be a banger.
All views expressed by speakers on the Beanpod are solely their opinions. You should not treat any opinion expressed on the Beanpod as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a specific strategy, but only as an expression of their opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.